At this time, we're going to continue on with Exodus 25. We're going to start at verse 21. This is dealing with when Jehovah spake unto Moses, verse 1 of Exodus 25. We'll just read verse 1 and verse 2. Or we may read the rest of it. We'll just see. Exodus 25, verse 1, it says, "And Jehovah spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they may bring an offering of every one that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering." And that's one of the reasons why. Let me go ahead and pray, and then I'll jump into this. Father, I would bless your name on today. We just thank you for just having another opportunity to get into your presence. Also to get an understanding of your word. We ask you just to manifest your will in our lives by giving us an understanding of your word. We bless you in the name of Yehoshua, we pray. Amen. But again, verse 2 says, "Speak unto the children of Israel, that they may bring an offering, Poland, of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart. Ye shall take my offering." And when you look at things here, that's what, you know, the mindset of Yah and perspective to the mindset of us. And I like to say us preachers because it keeps me balanced and in perspective. You know, the mindset of us preachers is that, you know, Yah is saying here that that this is to be done according to the heart, which obviously we understand from a perspective of what the heart is. The heart from the perspective of the mind, understanding. And then it used the word willingly in order to give us the mindset that it's offered freely, that there is no pressure associated with it whatsoever. And you can see Yah's mindset from the perspective of how he dealt with us as a nation of people, whereby it always encouraged everyone to do it from a perspective of a free, willing mindset of understanding from a perspective of getting things done, you know, for things that was done for him. And so, you know, that's one of the reasons why we have the mindset as far as, you know, ministry is concerned. I don't sit down and do things from the perspective to try to prop people up and boost them up to give money and things like that, because, you know, my heart is turned to Yah, and from that perspective, I just pray that everyone else is the same way. And when it's that way, then things will get done based upon the willingness and the hearts of the people that's a part of the kingdom of Yah. And it's just valid for that to be understood. That's why, you know, I really wanted to emphasize verse 2. You know, it's just that these things were done. And when you see, it says, "And this is the offering wherewith ye shall take of them gold and silver and brass, blue and purple and scarlet, fine linen, goat's hair, ram skin, dyed red, and badger skin, and cedar wood, oil for the light, spices for anointing oil, and for sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be set in an ephod, and in the breastplate, and let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. And they shall make an ark of cedar wood, two cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and a cubit and a half the breadth thereof, a cubit and a half the height thereof, and thou shalt overlay it with pure gold. Within and without shall thou overlay it, and shall make upon it a crown of gold round about. And thou shalt cast four wings of gold for it, and put them in four corners thereof, and two.
Excuse me, Pastor Boyd.
Yeah.
Where are you at again?
Exodus 25.
Thank you.
Verse 11. Exodus 25, verse 11. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, and within and without shalt thou overlay it, and make upon it a crown of gold round about. And thou shalt cast four rings of gold for it, and put them in four corners thereof. And two rings shall be in one side of it, and two rings in the other side of it. And thou shalt make staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold. And thou shalt put the staves. I should have hooked up everything and allowed you to see some things to give you a general idea how this stuff was looking from the projector. Verse 14, and thou shalt put the staves into the rings by the sides of the ark, that the ark may be borne with them. The staves shall be in the rings of the ark. They shall not be taken from it. And thou shalt put into the ark the testimony which I shall give thee. Now you look at the testimony, that's our law. Which I shall give thee, and thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold. Two cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and a cubit and a half the breadth thereof. And thou shalt make two cherubims of gold, of beaten work, shall thou make them in the two ends of the mercy seat, and make one cherub. Was anybody trying to say that? And make one.
So I mean, for him to just say that means that they know what that looks like. It wasn't like, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, yeah. I mean, when you look at everything that's being identified, I mean, it was something going on for them to.
I already know what a cherubim looked like. It wasn't like it was like, what's a cherubim?
I mean, you know, and I mean, he's giving the instructions to Moses. I mean, so you just never know, you know, what they experienced, because I'm trying to think, because we'd be all over the place in our study. I think it may have been, I'm trying to think where it was when it was talking about the cherubims were, or the angel was going before them. I can't remember if it's in this reading or when we was in the other reading. Or Joshua, something like that, in our Sabbath reading. I know because they had mentioned something about the angels or something going before them. The angel going before them. So, I mean, they could have seen them. You just don't know. Then, verse 18, and thou shalt make two cherubims of gold, of beaten work, shall thou make them in two ends of the mercy seat, and make one cherub on the one end, and the other cherub on the other end, even of the mercy seat. Shall ye make the cherubims on two ends thereof. And the cherubims shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and their faces shall be one to another. Toward the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubims be. And thou shalt put the mercy seat above upon the ark, and the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. And there I will meet with thee, and will commune with thee from above the mercy seat. from between the two cherubim, which are upon the ark of the testimony, ark of the testimony of all things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. Thou shalt also make a table of shittim wood. 2 cubits shall be the length thereof, and a cubit the breadth thereof, and a cubit and a half the height thereof. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, and make thereto a crown of gold round about. And thou shalt make unto it a border of a hand breadth round about, and thou shalt make a golden crown to the border thereof round about. And thou shalt make for it 4 rings of gold, and put the rings in the 4 corners that are on the 4 feet thereof. Over against the border shall the rings be for the places of the staff to bear the table. And thou shalt make the staff of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold, that the table may be borne with them. And thou shalt make the dishes thereof, and spoons thereof, and covers thereof, and bowls thereof. Bowls thereof to cover with thou of pure gold shall thou make them. I mean, as you see these things that they're making here, and I know you guys are trying to get a mental picture of what's going on here. That's why I was saying that, you know, I wish I had, you know, put up some drawings and stuff so you can actually see what we're talking about. So we may come back and do that sometime later. But as you can see here, when our nation came out of Egypt, we came out with some substance. I mean, we had gold, and for us to be able to, obviously when they took that gold and made, you know, that golden calf, and then you look at the things that they had in order to make these, you know, items. I mean, it lets you know that they, you know, our nation had quite a bit of gold on hand. And it just confirms that even when Yah is ready to bring us out in Genesis, you know, according to Genesis chapter 15, after 400 years, we're going to come out being a great nation, we're going to come out as a great nation having substance. And when you look at that substance, you know, from our American mindset, you know, we're thinking, man, we're coming out with money. We got to be able to trade all over the world. So we're coming out with gold and things like that. We're not coming out with paper money and stuff like that. We're coming out with substance that has value nationwide. You know, when you look at this paper, after a while, that stuff is going to, that's all it's going to boil down to. It's going to be pretty much useless when things are said and done. So, you know, it's going to be exciting time. We're going to be shocked to find out how much gold is in this country when it's time for us to go back to our land and to go back with our substance, you know. And so the reason why it's vitally important for us to understand that, why I wanted to read these things, although you're having maybe some difficult time, you know, understanding how, you know, certain things would look, you know, certain things looked and things like that. The most important point of this lesson right now that we're covering is for us to understand that, because we're going to have to do some rebuilding of some things as far as our nation is concerned. We have to come out of all the lands, not just, and that, you know, that's what amazes me about the American mindset, is we only think we're coming out of America. No, we're coming out of the four corners of the world with substance. With the substance of those places, places where we were held in captivity. We're coming out of Africa with substance. We're coming out of Europe with substance. We're coming out of America with substance. We're coming out of, you know, these different countries and things like that you can think of. We're coming out of those places with substance, you know. And so when you look at when we came out of Egypt, we came out of, at that time, the most wealthiest known place that existed on the planet. And so when you look at that from that perspective and then understand that we're scattered to the four corners, and Yah is saying to us in Genesis 15 that when he brings us from those four corners, when he gathers us out of all the land, we're coming out with great substance. You know, so Israelites who are in America, you know, just to kind of get on, say we're in America, who are in China, who are in Japan, who are in, you know, Europe, you know, in all these different places, we're coming out with great substance. Okay? Now, verse 30 says, thou shalt sit upon the table showbread before me always, before me always, and thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold, of beaten work shall the candlestick be made, his shaft and his branches, his bowls, his knobs, and his flowers shall be the same. And that's what we'll do. We'll come back next week, and I'll put up some stuff and let you guys see this. And so we'll just read it for now, and then we'll come back next week. Y'all said the same, and we'll deal with those. You know, I'll give you some kind of mental picture of these things that we're talking about here, okay? Verse 32, and six branches shall come out of the side of it, three branches of the candlestick out of one side, and three branches of the candlestick out of the other side. Have y'all seen that goes like this, and it has candlestick, but it goes kind of like this. I don't know if y'all seen it. That's what they're talking about. Or that's what Yah is talking about. And but like I said, we'll just take our time with 25, and we'll come back, and we may just, instead of going and deal with some things in detail, I may just show you these things and then just read through them and point them out as we're going to do it. Because it's, you know, the most important thing is understanding, okay? So we don't want to be in a rush. Verse 33 says, three bowls made like unto almonds with the knops and flour in one branch, and three bowls made like almonds in the other branch with a knop and a flour. So in the six branches that came out of the candlestick. And the candlestick shall be four bowls made like unto almonds with their knops and their flowers, and there shall be a knop under two branches and the same, and a knop under two branches of the same, and a knop under two branches of the same, according to six branches that that proceed out of the candlestick. Their knops and their branches shall be of the same, and all it shall be one beaten work of pure gold. So when you look at this, it wasn't like they were, you know, kind of fastened together. I mean, it's just everything was, you know, was one piece in a nutshell. Verse 37, and thou shalt make the seven lamps thereof, and they shall light the lamps thereof, that they may give light over against it, and the tongs thereof, and snuff dishes thereof shall be of pure gold, of a talent of pure gold shall he make it with all these vessels. And look that thou make them after their pattern, which was assured thee in the mount. So Moses is giving this information in the mount. And I mean, this is long, so chapter 36 is the same way. I mean, 26 is the same way. And so we'll read, and then, you know, if we get into some chapters whereby we need to discuss some things, then we will. But, you know, you have to understand that when you're looking at Scripture a lot of times, there may not be things that may need to be expound on, because it's just giving instructions on what we were to do as far as the nation was concerned in building this tabernacle. Exodus 26 verse 1 said, "Moreover, thou shalt make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of twin linen and blue and purple and scarlet, with cherubims of cunning work shall I make them." So it had the curtains. This place was nice, y'all. The length of one curtain shall be 8 and 20 cubits, and the breadth of one curtain 4 cubits, and every one of the curtains shall have one measure. The 5 curtains shall be coupled together one to another, and other 5 curtains shall be coupled one to another. And thou shalt make loops of blue upon the edge of the one curtain for the sleevage. Selvage and the coupling. And likewise shall thou make in the uttermost edge of another curtain in the coupling of the second. 50 loops shall thou make in the one curtain, and 50 loops shall thou make in the edge of the curtain that is in the coupling of the second. And the loops may take hold one of another. And thou shalt make 50 tassets of gold, and couple the curtains together with the tassels. And it shall be one tabernacle. And thou shalt make curtains of goat's hair, to be a covering upon the tabernacle. 11 curtains shall thou make. The length of one curtain shall be 30 cubits, and the breadth of one curtain 4 cubits. And the 11 curtains shall be all of one measure. And thou shalt couple 5 curtains by themselves, 6 curtains by themselves, and shall double the 6 curtains in the forefront of the tabernacle. And thou shalt make 50 loops on the edge of one curtain. This is that is utmost in the coupling, and 50 loops. In the edge of the curtain, which coupleth the second. And thou shalt make 50 tassels of brass, and put the tassels into the loop, and couple the tent together, that it may be one. And the remnant that remaineth of the curtains of the tent, the half curtain that remaineth, shall hang over the backside of the tabernacle. And a cubit on the one side, and a cubit on the other side of that which remaineth in the length of the curtains of the tent. And it shall hang over the sides of the tabernacle on the side, on this side and on that side, to cover. And thou shalt make a covering for the tent of ram skin dyed red, and a covering above of badger skin. And thou shalt make boards for the tabernacle of shittim wood, standing up. 10 cubits shall be the length of a board, and a cubic and a half shall be the breadth of one board. 2 tenons shall there be in one board, set in order, one against another. Thus shalt thou make for all the boards of the tabernacle. And thou shalt make the boards for the tabernacle 20 boards on the south side, southward. And thou shalt make 40 sockets of silver under the 20 boards, two sockets under one board for the two tenons, and two sockets under another board for the two tenons. And for the second side of the tabernacle, on the north side, there shall be 20 boards. And there are 40 sockets of silver, two sockets under one board, and two sockets under another board. And for the sides of the tabernacle westward, thou shalt make 6 boards. And 2 boards shalt thou make for the corners of the tabernacle in the 2 sides, and they shall be coupled together beneath. And they shall be coupled together above the head of it unto one ring, thus shall it be for them both. They shall be for the 2 corners, and they shall be 8 boards, and their sockets of silver, 16 sockets, 2 sockets under one board, and 2 sockets under another board. And thou shalt make the bars of shittim wood, 5 for the boards of the one side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars. And thou shalt make bars of shittim wood, 5 for the boards of the one side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards of the other side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards of the side of the tabernacle for the 2 sides westward. And the middle bar in the midst of the boards shall reach from end to end. And thou shalt overlay the boards with gold, and make their rings of gold for places for the bars. And thou shalt overlay the bars with gold, and thou shalt rear up the tabernacle according to the fashion thereof, which was showed thee in the mount. And thou shalt make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet, and fine twin linen of cunning work, with cherubims shall it be made. When I get an opportunity to show y'all, especially if I can find it, when I get an opportunity to show y'all this stuff, I mean, the stuff is going through my mind how I would look, because I've seen it before. But I'm talking about when we get an opportunity to put something up and let you see this, I mean, this was some awesome looking stuff, and the colors and things like that. Mixed with the gold and the silver and the brass and the stuff like that, it was a sight to see. Verse 30, and thou shalt rear up the tabernacle according to the fashion thereof, which was showed thee in the mount, and thou shalt make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet, and fine twin linen of cunning work, and cherubim shall it be made, and thou shalt hang it upon 4 pillars of shittim wood overlaid with gold. Their hooks shall be of gold upon the 4 sockets of silver, and thou shalt hang up the veil under the tassels, that thou mayest bring in thither within the veil the ark of the testimony, and the veil shall divide unto you between the holy place and the most holy. And thou shalt put the mercy seat upon the ark of the testimony in the most holy place, and thou shalt set the table without the veil, and the candlestick over against the table on the side of the tabernacle toward the south, and thou shalt put the tabernacle on the north side, on the north side, and thou shalt make an hanging for the door of the tent of blue and purple and scarlet, and fine twin linen wrought with needlework, and thou shalt make for the hanging 5 pillars of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold, and their hooks shall be of gold, and thou shalt cast 5 sockets of brass for them. It's still going. 27, and thou shalt make an altar of shittim wood, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad. The altar shall be 4 square, and the height thereof shall be 3 cubits. And thou shalt make the horns of of it up on the four corner thereof, his horn shall be of the same, and thou shalt overlay it with brass. And thou shalt make his pan to receive his ashes, and his shovel, and his basin, and his flesh hook, and his fire pan. All the vessels thereof thou shalt make of brass, and thou shalt make for it a grate of network of brass. And upon the net shalt thou make four brazen rings and four corners thereof. And thou shalt put it under the compass of the altar beneath it, that the net may be even to the midst of the altar. And thou shalt make staves for the altar, staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with brass. And the staves shall be put into the rings, and the staves shall be upon the two sides of the altar to bear it. Hollow with boards shall thou make it, and as it was showed thee in the mount, so shall they make it. And thou shalt make the court of the tabernacle for the south side, southward. There shall be hangings for the court of fine twin linen of 100 cubits long, for one side, and 20 pillars thereof in their 20 sockets shall be of brass. The hooks of the pillars and their fillets shall be of silver. And likewise for the north side, in length there shall be hangings of 100 cubits long, and its 20 pillars and their 20 sockets of brass. The hooks of the pillars and their fillets of silver. And for the breadth of the court on the west side shall be hangings of 50 cubits, their pillars 10 and their sockets 10. And the breadth of the court on the east side, eastward, shall be 50 cubits. The hanging one side of the gate shall be 50 cubits, their pillars 3 and their sockets three. And on the other side shall be hanging 15 cubits, their pillars 3 and their sockets 3. And for the gate of the court shall be an hanging of 20 cubits of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twine linen wrought with needlework. And the pillars shall be 4 and their sockets 4. And the pillars round about the court shall be filleted with silver. Their hooks shall be of silver and the sockets of brass. The length of the court shall be 100 cubits, and the breadth 50 everywhere, and the height 5 cubits of fine twin linen, and their sockets of brass. All the vessels of the tabernacle and all the service thereof and all the pens thereof and all the pens of the court shall be of brass. And thou shalt command the children of Israel that they may bring the pure oil that's beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn always. The lamp was never supposed to go out. And that's why when we get to scripture, we'll start reading things about the priests, and we'll start to find out, you know, why they were corrupting things. You'll see this from a perspective of these things that we're discussing now. Verse 21, in the tabernacle of the congregation without the veil, which is before the testimony, Aaron and his sons shall order it from evening to morning before Jehovah. It shall be a statute forever unto their generation on behalf of the children of Israel. And so we'll find out some things as we go on, and you'll see why some of these priests, well, there were some things that happened to some of these priests and things like that. Okay. We're going to chapter 28 now. It said, "Take thou unto thee Aaron, thy brother, and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And thou shalt make a holy garment for Aaron, thy brother, for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And these are the garments which thou shalt make: a breastplate of an ephod, and a robe, and a broidered coat, a mattress, and a girdle. And they shall make holy garments for Aaron thy brother and his son, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office." Now, what you see things as far as the Catholic priest and things like that, that'll give you an idea, some of a general idea of how the clothing looks that they're talking about here from the perspective of Aaron. So that's where you get the things like this as far as the Catholic Church and things like that. They're imitating things that's being identified here. And that's why you see a lot of things as far as the Vatican is concerned. When you look at it, it's like it's a lot of gold and brass and silver and things like that, because they're trying to imitate, or they tried to imitate, what we're reading here. So a lot of things you can kind of go look at as far as, the Vatican is concerned. They give you a general idea of the thing that was going on, especially when you ask about them, like, man, why are they so excessive in the gold and things, all that? Well, this is why right here, okay? I'll read verse 4 again. "And these are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate and an ephod and a robe, and a broader coat, and a girdle. And they shall make holy garments for Aaron thy brother and his son, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And they shall take gold and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen." "And fine linen, and they shall make the ephod of gold, of blue, and of purple, of scarlet, and fine twin linen and cunning work. And it shall have two shoulder pieces thereof joined at two edges thereof. And so it shall be joined together. And the curious girl of the ephod, which is upon it, shall be of the same according to the work thereof, even of gold and of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twin linen. And thou shalt take two onyx stones and engrave on them the names of the children of Israel, six of their names on one stone, and the other six names of the rest on the other stone, according to their birth." "With the work of an engraver in stone, like the engravings of a signet, shalt thou engrave the two stones with the names of the children of Israel. Thou shalt make them to sit in ouches of gold. And thou shalt put the two stones upon the shoulders of the ephod for stones of memorial unto the children of Israel. And Aaron shall bear their names before Jehovah upon his two shoulders for a memorial." "And thou shalt make ouches of gold, and two chains of pure gold at the end, of wreathen work shall thou make them, and fasten the wreathen chains to the ouches. And thou shalt make the breastplate of judgment with cunning work. After the work of the ephod, thou shalt make it of gold, of blue, and of purple, and of fine, and of scarlet, and of fine twin linen shalt thou make it. Four square it shall be doubled, a span shall be the length thereof, and a span shall be the breadth thereof, and thou shalt sit in its sitting of stone, even four rows of stones. The first row shall be a sardius, a topaz, and a carbuncle. This shall be the first row, and the second row shall be an emerald, a sapphire, and a diamond, and the third row a ligure, and an agate, and an amethyst, and the fourth row a beryl, and an onyx, and a jasper, and shall be fit in gold in their enclosing. And the stone shall be with the names of the children of Israel, 12, according to their names, like the engravings of a signet. Everyone with his name shall they be according to the 12 tribes. And thou shalt make upon the breastplate chains at the ends of wreathen work of pure gold, and thou shalt make upon the breastplate two rings of gold, and shall put the two rings on the two ends of the breastplate. And thou shalt put the two wreathen chains of gold and the two rings which are on the ends of the breastplate. And the other two ends of the two wreathen chains thou shalt fasten in the two ouches, and put them on the shoulder pieces of the ephod before it. And thou shalt make two rings of gold, and thou shalt put them upon the two ends of the breastplate in the borders thereof, which is in the side of the ephod inward. And two other rings of gold thou shalt make and put. Okay. Note this. We're going to stop at Exodus 28, verse 27. Yasser, stop. Okay, so Exodus 28, 27, make a note. And the reason why he stopped me, just told me to stop. So let me get out of this stuff here. Okay. He told me to stop, and the reason why he told me to stop is just to spend a little time explaining to you guys from a perspective of the scriptures. And the whole time I was reading these things, I was like, okay, you know, I'm used to doing this kind of reading on my own time and stuff like that. But when we were led to start reading the scriptures and things like that, he wants you to understand clearly. I mean, you do to a certain respect, but he wants you to understand clearly that what he's doing with us is so different that there are going to be times when we're going to come in and you guys will receive the highest degree of blessing for just hearing the reading of these things. And I'll explain to you what I mean. When he first led me to start reading the Bible or studying for the reading, when he first led me to start studying the Bible from Genesis all the way to Revelation, one of the things I realized that was one of the most hardest things to do was to read these different portions of the scripture because it would come across as, you know, as like this is just information that we're we're reading, and we, you know, we're just reading through information. But at the same time, as you read through this information, and that's why I say I'll come back next week and just kind of show you some mental pictures of some things. As we read through this information, because what I would do is read through the information, and then I would go, I would go study on these different materials and things like this to try to understand or to get a mental picture of what I was saying. And so that's why we're reading through them now. We're going to come back and do that. But at the same time, what you have to understand is that there may be times when we may not necessarily sit down and have discussions, you know, like we normally do as far as lessons are concerned. But we'll read through these different things, and you will pick up certain things. And when these things start to come back around, you will start to understand why. And so, don't ever look at the scriptures as being something from a perspective of boring. A lot of times you find people that won't cover this kind of information because they'll be like, okay, well, you know, why should we do this in training school or in Bible study or something like this? Why we can't have a specific topic to deal with and things like that? We'll do it as y'all lead us to do that, but at the same time, there are times because we're studying through the scriptures. And so there are times when we have readings like this, and this may be all that we, you know, all that we will do. But at the same time, it is important for you to understand the blessedness of you having an opportunity to sit and read them. To sit and read them, because from sitting and reading these things, that's when y'all deal with us from a perspective of saying, you know what, their hearts are pure enough to sit down and cover this stuff precept upon precept and line upon line and not over skip any chapters just to get to something else that we feel like is more interesting, but to look at things precept upon precept, line upon line, and look for every opportunity to deal with us, for y'all to deal with us in any way of the scripture to bring us into a clear understanding. And, yeah, you want to say something?
What is a, I don't know if I'm saying it right, a filigree and an ephod?
Uh-huh.
It's with F-I-L-I-G-R-E-E. What is that?
What verse?
Well, it's in a lot of verses. It says, it is a...
Give me one verse, because I don't know.
It says, like, the two ends of the two cars shall attach to the two settings of the...
What verse?
Verse
25. Okay.
On chapter
28. Okay. And the other two ends, and that's what I'm saying, we'll look at some things in detail, but that's okay. It says in the two ends of the two reason chain, thou shalt... Huh?
You said verse 25.
Chapter 28, verse 25.
So what word are you looking for? Talking about ephod?
And then what does that mean? And then the other word that keeps popping up is...
The ephod is a shoulder piece.
I don't think the other word is something.
Yeah, I don't either. You're in a different version of the Bible. You're in the ESV.
Mm. Pastor Boyce.
Yeah.
Maybe she's talking about Exodus 27 and 17. Is she saying filleted?
No.
The F-I-L-L-E-T-E-D?
The file is right here. See, right here, you click your Bible, you was in the English Standard Version. When you click that Bible here and click King James, and now tell me what you're talking about.
All right. How did you spell it, though?
She was looking at it from the...
What was the word?
I don't know. She knelt, I never did.
How you spell the word?
Let me go to the American Standard. See. She's reading from the ESV. I don't think I got the ESV. Bring the ESV back up here. You said verse 25?
It was chapter 28, verse 25.
Verse 25, it says, fasten in the two cords.
Ready to pass. What does it mean?
Yeah. It's ouches. The word she's saying is in the English Standard Version is filigree. It's filigree, but it's this word is what you're asking about, ouches. And so
it looks like it's a good time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like designs or settings or something like that. Brocades or something. So from that perspective. So again, we'll start at verse 27 on next. Well, we may go back and look at some things because I may show you some different mental pictures of some things in our sentence that Mama posted, so she'll be on the same page too. And or anybody else who is looking at this information. But when you look at these different things like this, it is vital for all of us to understand that in reading through the scriptures, revelation or I like to call it enlightenment, revelation, enlightenment comes from looking at things on precept upon precept, line upon line, because a lot of these things where it may seem like it's irrelevant because we were just reading over, we'll deal with some other stuff and they'll start popping in your head and you start saying, just like, and I'll just use this for one example as I get ready to close, as it's dealing with the, and I mentioned it just a little bit. Was it in the other chapter? I think it was in chapter 27. Let me go back. Find it, and I'll just give you one example. It was talking about the showbread. It was talking about the showbread and the fire. You get a lot of reading. Anyhow, I'll just tell you, instead of going there, just find it. Like that, for instance, when that happened, when he said, you know, that it's supposed to burn, that the priest is supposed to keep it lit before the altar always. This is something else for you. Yeah. Verse 21, Exodus 27, verse 21, I'll show you this as an example. It says, in the tabernacle of the congregation without the veil, which is before the testimony, Aaron and his sons shall order it from even to morning before Jehovah. It shall be a statute forever unto their generational behalf of the children of Israel. And in verse 20 it says, and thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring the pure oil, olive beaten, for the light to cause the lamp to burn always. Well, we'll read some things and we'll see that Aaron's sons died because they let that fire go out. And so to show how specific Yah was with these things, as we're reading them, you know, we'll remember some things because it appears that we're just reading it now. But as we start seeing some details of some things, we'll start referring back to 26 and 27 and 28. And it'll be like, okay, y'all, okay, remember when we was reading this part and this year was specifically designed this way and was supposed to be done this way. And as you see our nation in these other chapters start to do these other things, you'd be like, man, I see why judgment came down on them so hard. If we hadn't read Exodus 27 and 20 about it was supposed to be on there always, or looked at it in detail, when we got over and find and see those two sons get killed because the fire went out, we'd be like, dang, why? Why did they die because the fire went out? Well, they was commanded not to ever let it go out.
We'll
setting these things up, and that's what I'm saying. It appears like we're just reading right now, but Yah is always specific, and so He put these things in here for us to understand it. And then when we jump in the other chapters, or even jump over in the new, we'd be like, okay, I see now why that happened that way. And I'll give you one example, and then I'm going to let you go here. Now, remember, I'm going to read Exodus 27, 20, and 21. Then I'm going to move to another chapter, and then you'll see here. Okay, Exodus 27, 20 says, and thou shalt command the children of Israel that they... Yah keeps stopping me because He wants you to understand how vitally important it is. That's why... I talk about Anna a lot. We spend a lot of time together. You know, that's my son and stuff like that. You know, we're really close. And so, you know, because he asked so many doggone questions, and I love that about it. I love that about it, though. He asked so many questions. He's always pulling information, and I like discussing the Bible. And so that's why we get along so good, because we both love discussing the Bible. We sit there for hours and do it. And so he always said, there are things that you see that, you know, you can't just see this stuff from study. That's true, in a sense, because of what I was born to do and how Yah deals with me. It's something Yah has given me. He's written some things on the table of my heart. But at the same time, because He's done that, and I want y'all to understand that because He's done that for me, there are things that I see, but I'm able, He's given me certain methods by which to show you how to see things that I see. And so that's why I'll set things like, y'all, okay, the Bible has links. And I'll be like, I see, when I read, I see links. And because I've read the scripture so much at different classes, whether it's training school, it's Sabbath worship, Sunday service, on my own time, I do a lot of reading. But because I do, things leak. I see leaks. So what I'm showing you now is a leak, and I'm finna go on the New Testament to get the other leak. Okay, now Exodus 27, verse 20, it said, "Thou shalt command the children of Israel that they may, that they bring thee pure oil, olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn always." Always now. Now, when you look at the Hebrew meaning of always, it means daily, perpetual. So it's always, okay? Never supposed to go out. Then it says in the verse 21, says, in the tabernacle of the congregation without the veil, which is before the testimony, Aaron and his sons shall order it from order what? It, the oil. They shall order it or prepare it, okay? To sit in order, arrange, okay, from evening to morning before Jehovah. So he said this should be perpetual. It always supposed to live. And it shall be a statute forever unto their generation on behalf of the children of Israel. Now,
kind of like the Olympic torch.
Right. Yeah, you don't let that Olympic, you the whole time the Olympic is going on, that torch is supposed to be lit. And if it goes out, I mean, there's some serious issues, you know, from that perspective. Now, when you, when you go to, let me see where now. I'm going to the New Testament now, and I'm going to show you. Hebrews 7. And I'm just trying to show y'all how I see things. So when I read that, that's why when I read like Exodus and it appears like it's nothing there, I'm looking for everything in there, and I'm retaining this information. Now, Hebrews 7 verse 1 says, I want to start at verse 1. Okay, I'm going to start at verse 5. I think I'm going to start at verse 5 and see if I can get away with it by starting at verse 5 to the reading. Hello. Hebrews 7 verse 5 says, "And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi," who is the sons of Levi? The priest. So you go back and you look at Aaron and Ali. So when you in Hebrews, you see those priests and things that they were doing. To a certain perspective, this is telling you how I see links. Now, verse 5 said, "And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithe of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithe of Abraham, and blessed him that had the promise. And without all contradiction, the less is less of the better. And here men that die receive tithes." I'm not concentrating on the tithe now. I'm showing you a concept. "And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of who witness that he liveth. And as I may say so, Levi also who received tithe paid tithe to Abraham, for it was yet he," that's not world. Yeah, okay, I wanted to get down, verse 11, I would read verse 10, "for he was yet," Thomas, I'll just read verse 9, As I may say so, Levi also, who received his tithe, paid tithe in Abraham, for he was yet in the loins of Abraham, loins of his father, when Melchizedek met him. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise? See, it's pointing the way to Christ after the order of Melchizedek, because Melchizedek wasn't of the Levitical priest line. And so it's showing that this Levitical priest line has some issues going on with it. Okay? Now, verse 11 says, well, verse 10 says, for he was yet in the loins of, now verse 11 says, if therefore the perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, that further need, what further need was there than another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek, and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of a necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. See, it's pointing to the priest now at the altar, for it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah. He's talking about Jesus now. He sprang out of Judah, not Levi. Okay? He's the now priest after the order of Melchizedek. And it is, verse 14, for it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning the priesthood. Moses didn't speak of the priesthood coming from from Judah, but of Levi. That's the tribe that Moses was of, Levi. And it is yet far more evident for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there rises another priest. Melchizedek was a priest. Now when you go back to Genesis, you read by Melchizedek, then you get over in Hebrews 7, you see the leap that attached Jesus after that order, not after the order of the Exodus priest. Okay, so you start seeing these links, is what I'm saying now. Then it said, which is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testified thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For there is barely a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and the unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing of a better hope did, by which we draw nigh unto God. Now, as we read these things, the priests were working in this office, going before God for the people. Well, they weren't perfect. They couldn't keep the fire lit. They kept taking the, remember you get over to Malachi, they kept taking the tithe, which was which were animals and all that for the meat in Malachi 3. So they kept taking the tithe or the best tithe, and they were giving the lame and the sick thing. So when you see Hebrews 7 is pointing out that this earthly priesthood, it wasn't working. These priests turned out to be some crooks at times, and they were mismanaging the tithe. They were letting the fire go out. They were doing all these other wicked things. And so y'all was like, okay, I'm sending a priest that can stand in the gap for the people after the order of Melchizedek, who don't come from this Levitical priesthood. So when you read these different things, it may not seem like there's some importance to it, but now when you go and see me link it, you start saying, okay, I see why I need to understand that. I need to understand what was it about these priests that made now Christ become the high priest after the order of Melchizedek, not of the bloodline of the Levitical priesthood. Because they did some stuff they didn't have no business doing. They started out doing okay, but then at the same time, it got to the point to where they were doing so much wickedness, and we'll read some things about they even tied a rope around these priests when they went in the Holy of Holies. They tied a rope around their leg, and it had a bell on it. And long as they can hear that bell, because couldn't nobody go in there but the priest. But the priest had to consecrate himself. And if he went in there and died, they didn't know he was dead until they put that rope around his leg with the bell hole. They could hear that bell moving around in there. They knew he was still alive. But if he went in there and he wasn't true, he died. So now Christ comes as the high priest, and he's without spot or blemish. He can always stand in the gap on behalf of us as a people. So when you see that now in Exodus, and then you start looking at Melchizedek that was in Genesis, then you go to Exodus, then you go to Hebrews 7, you start seeing these links, and everything will start making sense. That's why each portion of the scripture should be taken in at heart. You try to take in as much information as you can. That's what studying is about. And so because God has enabled me to look at scriptures like that, I see all these links because I take the time and read every word and see what y'all want to show me out of there, so that when I do get over Hebrews 7 and stuff like that, I'll say, okay, yeah, I understand why they're saying that. That's why we're doing it this way. And so it's a blessing to each one of you. That's why he stopped me and said, okay, I want you to let the people know and encourage them. It's a blessing for you just to sit here and read and take in that information, because trust me, it's going to come back around later on. Okay? And that's why I wanted to show you that. And Hebrews 7 is just one example that you can read. And as you continue to read some things, verse 22, verse 21, and I'm going to close. It says, for those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, the Lord swore and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. So when you look at the word surety now, it basically means a bondsman. He was made a bondsman. Let me find that place again. He was made a bondsman of a better covenant, because as you look, the priest was going and making atonement for our sins, and they wasn't together themselves sometimes. So we got a better priest to come along that was perfect and became a bondsman after the order of Melchizedek. So now we can go boldly before the throne because we have a sacrificial lamb. He's both the lamb and the priest. Remember, because the sacrifice was blemished, and the priest was also defiled in some ways. Christ became both. He became the sacrifice without blemish, and he became the high priest after the order of Melchizedek, being without sin, blameless. And operating within the order of making an atonement or the washing away of our sins. And that's how that stuff links together like that. But we have to go through this process in order. I just kind of got ahead of myself and showed you the link. But we have to go through this process in order to see those links clearly. Okay? All right. Any other questions or comments? I'll go ahead and let you go. If not, we're good? Okay, so again, I want to encourage y'all. Always be encouraged when we're reading this, and don't ever think we're just reading it for nothing. So it's just going to come back around, all right? That's how we study. Father, y'all, we just bless your name on today. We thank you for another facet of understanding. We just ask you to continue to lead and guide us in truth so that we may be all that you call us to be. For your glory, in the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen.